Timing. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Water Break. We're live, and it's good to be with you with Water Girl, my beautiful wife, and Water Boy. Someday you can ask how we got those names, and it's a dumb story. We're going to talk about why women should eat more today. And it's probably, it sounds like it's the best thing you've ever heard, but it's not. You got anything to add to that introduction?
You're the worst. He is the worst. That's what I want to add.
Hey, we're going to talk about why you should eat more today. We're
going to talk about reverse dieting today.
I like putting a positive spin on it. Reverse sounds so negative.
I have no words. I wish I had three of these.
If
I had a mute button for you. Just,
for me?
Just mute.
No.
I do. But I don't know how to do any of this, so I'm not going to.
I bring the fun in athleticism. And what was the third thing, Mill?
Athleticism.
We call it FAH. Was it FAH? F-A-H? Humor. Fun, well, athleticism, and humor.
You bring that to this.
Fa-la-la-la-la.
I'm so glad that you're here.
Oh, man. KB, thank you for praying for us. Appreciate that. Where are you from, KB?
I'm not seeing any. Can you
put in your chat? Oh, you can't. You can't see.
I want to see the comments. Is that why I'm in there?
See, that would be, you hit the chat button.
Ew.
And... oh, that's weird. Oh, there you go.
What'd you push?
I'm just going to test out and see if it works. We are live, so we're still kind of working a little bit through the technology.
Yeah, but I clearly don't know what we're doing.
I don't know. I can't find the comments for you, baby. That is kind of weird. Maybe turn sideways.
You can just read them.
Yeah. Oh, Annie's backstage. Oh, you should be able to see comments, but not comment, I think. I don't know. That's really weird what's going on there. We'll have to work on that later.
Still
hello.
Working on
Cody from Apologia. Yeah, buddy. And then I'm KB's from Montana.
Hi, KB.
Montana is basically northern Canada. So
why would you say that?
I'm just kidding. Northern Canada. No, Canada is northern Montana, actually. It's the other way around. It's like Canada desperately wants to be like Montana. So thank you for tuning in. You guys can be chatting with us. We are in our Cross Politic Facebook channel. I can see texts and chats from there. We can see texts and chats from me and Annie's YouTube channel, and we can see texts and chats from our Cross Politic YouTube channel. If you're on Twitter, please share the show. We kind of monitor comments on Twitter, but not like we can. It's a lot easier to do it on Facebook, Twitter, Facebook and YouTube. So, we'll be able to answer questions on that side of things. So, but the topic of today is kind of an interesting topic. I think you told me about it, years ago, and I always found it a little bit, it's kind of fascinating, but basically it's called, our topic is reverse dieting. So, I mean, let's just start with like, what is reverse dieting 101?
Yeah. Well, actually, don't want to start there. I want to start with a little background, but I will get to what is reverse diet. Good. How do you do it? You know, get there, and don't let me talk too long because I want to get there.
No, obviously. I just want to talk about why I should eat more.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that this applies to you, but okay. So a little background to why we're talking about this. So I've been
80s and 90s.
I mean,
we can pinpoint everything in the 80s and 90s.
You can blame
There's a lot of problems.
You can blame the 90s for a lot of things, at least for our generation.
George Bush, everything.
George Bush, Oprah. Yeah, you can, whatever. Yeah. Okay, so I've been doing the fitness thing forever, for almost 20 years. And with that, some nutrition, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. I really actually, honestly, in my early years, avoided it because I was kind of told to, and I just was like, I'd rather people just eat whatever they wanted, and then we'll just work out and focus on that. And then as time went on, I just started to realize you have to address nutrition or people can't, they can't reach their goals, you know? So I started to get more and more into it. And it really is only in the past couple years that I've been really, I don't know, veering in my career towards a lot more nutrition
and blood
counseling.
Work.
Yeah. Like counseling. Stuff, yeah. Yeah. That kind of stuff. So I will say really, I've come to a realization over these last couple years as I have talked in depth to so many more, mostly women, some men, mostly women, about their nutrition. I've come to the realization, and that there's kind of two different types of clients out there, or like women out there. And again, men could glean from this too. Women is the majority of who I talk to. There's the ones on the nutritional side of things who are truly overeating, like one way or another, like, which is kind of what we think of as the classic American problem. Like if you're overweight, you're probably eating too much, and too much junk food or too much processed food or too much baked goods or whatever, right? Too much, maybe not the right kind of stuff. And those people are out there, right? Like, like those moms who will not stop baking. Okay. You guys are maybe one of those. Sometimes the like really busy working mom type person who eats out all the time, and they just, they're not cooking their own food. Ex-athletes can be really bad, you know, because they used to get away with just eating so much, and then they formed those habits and they stopped exercising. And so they're running into a problem. But there, what I have realized is that there is an entirely other subset of women. And, there are a lot of you, who are actually, kind of the opposite. You are the group of women who are, often overweight or weight loss resistant, dramatically under eating, and then usually just stressed out of your minds. And there's usually not always physical stress symptoms that you start to see either in blood work or, you know, just in day-to-day lives. And that's really interesting.
And overweight. So under eating, stressed, and overweight.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is really, you know, it's strange. And
it's a funny combo.
Even for someone who does understand metabolism and who's been in it for a long time, like myself, I have been shocked at how many of the women that I have worked with and had them track for me on an app. And I've been like, be honest, be exact. And they are literally eating like 1,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
Which is not very much food for a grown woman who's moving around and doing things throughout the day. So those are the women I want to talk to. Now, those of you who are baking way too much, and those of you who are eating way too much fast food, and those of you who are not moving your bodies, we will talk to you later. There's stuff to say to you. You guys are easier. It's actually a lot simpler.
Yeah.
When that's the problem, you know, but it becomes quite complex and quite difficult when a woman comes to you. And here's a perfect example, like some woman who is 5'2", 200 pounds or heavier, weight loss resistant, eating 1,100 calories a day. For reals. Sorry, 1,100 calories a day. And has exercised and dieted her entire life.
Yeah.
Those are the women I'm talking to. It's and the 80s and 90s. There are so many of you. And it's kind of sad because a lot of these women have been almost gaslighted by their doctors for many, many years.
You eat less.
Well, more or less. And when they say to their doctor, doctor, I am not eating very much. Like, I really don't think I can eat less. You know, the doctor half the time will just call them a liar and be like, I don't believe you. You're lying. Like, look at your weight. You're lying. And then they just get that stupid trope that doctors to this day still tell it people, which is eat less and run more. And for women in this subset, which again is a lot of you, that's terrible advice.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to talk about the reverse diet, talk to you guys in particular today. So again, what I'm saying is not going to apply to everybody, but I am, I've been just, it's crazy.
Yeah. How many people are jailed from this problem?
How many women fall under this category? So, and men should probably fall under this category too. I just talk to women more.
Yeah. So really the target for this conversation is someone who's, you know, overweight, you know, maybe even significantly overweight, but they eat hardly anything at all.
Right.
They're still kind of active just from, you know, taking care of kids, life and all that stuff.
Some of these women are crazy active. Some of them aren't.
Yeah. But, and then maybe their stress might be another factor in this as always.
Yeah. They're very stressed.
They're eating, hardly anything, not losing weight. And maybe even some cases, maybe even gaining weight, still eating 1,000 calories a day.
Right.
That's insanity.
Exactly. It is insanity. And it goes against the, you know, like what most people think of is like, okay, you know, calories in, calories out.
Yeah.
If you want to lose weight, you just need to eat less and that should work for you. Yeah. And if you're eating very little, you shouldn't be overweight. Right.
So, and your pastor is just like saying, you just need to be more joyful and cheerful. And you'll lose weight.
It's so hard. It's so hard. So, okay. Yeah. So first let's talk about how these,
which is probably true.
Let's talk about how these women got there, because usually they come to me and they're like later 30s, mid 40s, sometimes even later, but around right around then is usually where it hits, you know, where the ramifications of dieting for their whole life.
Yeah, Kim's diet
starts to hit them. Or, yeah, that's usually, although I have seen this hit women younger. And of course, I've talked to women who are older too, but usually it's kind of that like late 30s, early 40s, where a lot of them are like, what is going on? So usually the way that, I mean, the reason that they've gotten here is number one, a just lifetime, as long as they can remember oftentimes, of dieting, right? Like, you name it, they've tried it. And this is true of so many women, but I do love to mention the 90s because it was such a crazy
diet fad
diet world. Time. Yeah. Like, it was just so crazy.
How many diets were there? There's the Atkins diet. Oh, there was the,
there's so many. I mean,
Jenny Craig
the
diet,
HCG diet, low carb, the low fat, high fiber, weird cleanses, you know, like, and then now everybody's like doing keto or carnivore or something, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily here to say any of those are bad or wrong or anything like that. Sure. But the point, that's not,
we don't judge here on the podcast.
I don't have a problem with a lot of them, but, but the point is that if you continually, chronically over time, and I don't mean over months, I mean over years, restrict and restrict and restrict, by any name, by any form, right? You slowly depress your metabolism.
What do you mean restrict?
That is a restrict as in you're eating less, like maybe you're doing this slim fast shake thing. So you only for 6 months, you only drink slim fast shakes for your meals and you lose weight. But
that happened once in once in our world.
That's it. Yeah. That was a thing.
That was a thing.
Or maybe you like, then, you know, you lose weight for a little bit and then your metabolism adapts, lowers to meet you where you're at. Yeah. And then you gain weight back and then you're like, oh no. And then you do the Special K diet. So you only eat cereal. I'm just making these are all diets.
All of that happens.
So that's what I mean by restrict is when you eat less and then you eat less and you eat less. Yeah. Every time you do that, your metabolism over time slows down.
Will adjust.
And that's a scientific fact. That's how human beings, and we've talked about this before, have stayed alive in really, really poor conditions throughout the course of human history. That's how people stayed alive in a concentration camp, in a famine, in a war.
Because your metabolism would just adjust.
It will just shut down. Right. It will meet you where you at. Now, obviously, you're not probably thriving in those situations. Yeah. You know, you might lose your hair. You might not poop for a week. You might, you know, your nails might not look very good. They probably don't. You probably, your energy is really low, but you're surviving.
Yeah.
And that is a built-in mechanism that God gave us.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're looking at in the context of these ladies, who all they've been trying to
live
do,
in a first world nation.
Well, and they're just trying to take the advice that they've always been given, which is if you want to lose weight, you eat less, right? But what they haven't been taught about or what they're not taking into account in this equation is that your metabolic rate kind of rules all, right? And years of eating so little, you know, kind of off and on, yo-yo dieting as we all do, but it's just generally getting less and less and less, your metabolic rate comes down to meet you. And that's how you end up at the age of 35, at the age of 42, whatever, with an incredibly low metabolic rate, which is how you can be eating so few calories, truly, like they're not lying.
Yeah.
And you're still 30 to 40 pounds overweight or not in the body that you would like to be in. And it doesn't make sense. That's how that happens.
Right.
Okay. That's how that happens. And then, I will note often, women in that come to me in this scenario, they often, when we look at their blood work, do have a subpar free T3. So their thyroid is suppressed. It is downregulated right along with everything else, which is also normal. It's a built-in, it's a built-in mechanism. Just when it senses like there is no food here, we're not getting fed enough. We haven't been fed enough in years. We're going to downregulate. Often, not always, I see a T3, free T3 in the like twos, which is not ideal. So, and then on the stress side of things, and the stress component, just sort of compounds the whole situation here. So here you are, under eating basically for years on end. Your metabolic rate is depressed. It's low. And then if you lay on top of that, all of the stresses of being a mom, being a wife, being busy, you know, doing the, you know, substituting at school, having a job outside of the home, you know, sports teams, childbirth. I mean, it's an incredible stressful gig and it lasts for a long time. And the effects of that stress build up also. I mean, we're also dealing with, the fact that under eating, especially for years, is a stress on the body, right? Like it's not good. It's not good for you. And I really do wonder, and we were talking about this just the other day that like, you know, women at this age, often it's like very common for them to complain of symptoms like, oh, my hair just isn't what it used to be. And like, you know, I can't lose weight and I have brain fog and I don't feel good and my energy's low. And yes, those can be symptoms. I mean, they've actually just been lumped into this, like everybody just says, oh, that's just part of getting older because it's so common. And yes, you could point to things like progesterone getting a little lower, you know, and some other hormones that could cause some of those. But mm-hmm. how much of those symptoms are also just like under eating for a really long time? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how you feel. And I think it's really sad right. that so many women, that is their normal.
Or not even eating a balance. I mean, they're under eating, yeah. but also you're not like balanced. Well, diet or food.
It's hard to be balanced you know. And get the nutritive value that you need yeah. if you're not eating enough.
That's right.
And then you're right. right. If you lay on top of that, the quality of your food not being very mm-hmm. good, which often yeah. it isn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No wonder you feel like absolute garbage. You know, I mean, like, and again, the body can survive anything and it can survive pretty bad treatment for a little while and bounce back usually. But if you do this for 20 years, you do this for 15 years, it comes back to get you. And I think that's what's going on with these women. So, that's what we're looking at is you ladies out there who are truly barely eating anything. Your metabolism is very slow. You mm-hmm. cannot lose weight. And you are also just a big fat ball of stress for all the reasons that we just talked about. So that leaves you in the most frustrated position. And mm-hmm. I have had these conversations and my heart goes out to these women because they literally are like, I feel like I'm crazy. I'm so frustrated. I'm doing all the right things, right? Barely eating anything, mm-hmm. exercising, like eating really clean, you know, all those things. How am I so overweight? Why can I not lose weight? Things that I hear all the time mm-hmm. is this doesn't make sense, which from a distance, it doesn't, you know, I get that. And then also what used to work for me does not work anymore. Right. I cannot even tell you how right. many times they have said that. And they're right, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah. again, it's just been this chronic, you know, in like just slow decrease or slow, a slowing of a response to
any diet,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, what's really interesting. I'm just going to pin here for a second and then we'll get into what women tend to want to do when they get in the spot and then what they should do. And that's yeah. where the reverse diet is going to come in. But okay. one really interesting thing for you guys to note as you're sorting through this stuff, just on your own, like your own health, your own journey, how you compare yourself to other people. Cause we all do it. You know, it's like, well, Susan tried this and it worked great for her. Why does right. it not work for me? Right. Or my husband did this. Why right. isn't it? You know what I mean? And we all do it. We know we shouldn't, but we do. One thing that you guys want to know, and this is just another layer of why women in this particular situation have it so tough is that, it is so easy to lose weight the first time. And this is a documented thing yeah, and it's yeah. for a lot of reasons, mm-hmm. Hunger hormones, how they react. And also even just all the way down to like how your fat cells, how willing they are to shrink.
Yep. Yeah,
and, right. They're very willing. The body, you can get it to lose weight fairly easily if mm-hmm. you've never lost weight before. Yeah. And I know all of you, if you think about that, that will make sense to you because you'll be like, okay, the first time I did low carb or I did whatever, you know, right. it actually worked pretty well. And then the longer I did it, it attenuated. It didn't work quite as well. And then I took a break because I was sick of it. And then I decided to try another diet. Mm-hmm. It worked kind of, but not quite as well. And then down the year, you know, another diet. And then 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, you're like, man, none of this stuff works for me anymore. Right. And that's a thing.
Right.
So you need to remember that also. And so if you are one of those women who has done every single diet right. that, you know, Women's Health and Oprah suggested, yeah. your body is by nature more weight loss resistant simply because of that. And yeah. that's also by design.
You yeah. know, it's like God made it difficult yeah, for you to die. Like,
you're not
like,
getting me this yeah, time. Not my first rodeo. Yeah.
Fool me once.
Exactly.
Shame on
exactly
me.
That's exactly right. And it's funny. I've heard authors talk about how it's a very high percentage. I can't remember what the percentage they put on it, but what a high percentage of weight loss books were written by first timers. So mm-hmm. people who had never lost weight before, had never had a transformation before, they tried this one thing and they're like, oh, it's a miracle. Just eat grapefruits or whatever. And then they write an entire book about it and how, you know, how much, so much of the reason that it actually worked at all is simply because it was the first time they never lost weight. And I actually think that's really funny. I can't remember the stat, but it was a pretty high percentage, mm-hmm. which is probably true. So anyways, here we are, ladies. Frustrated out of our minds, being gaslighted by our doctors, constantly being told just run more, eat less. You really can't do that.
Yeah. It's eat like, oatmeal.
Yeah, eat oatmeal. Yeah, exactly. I love it. Love it. Thanks, doctors. And you're just in this place of frustration and what I would call desperation. Mm-hmm. And I hear that in their voices where they're like, I'm desperate. I don't know what else to do. And this is the time often where you women in this particular situation, under eating, weight loss resistant, this is often when you, out of desperation, go to either aggressive fasting or one of the new GLP-1 drugs. And again, it's because you're desperate. Yeah. Nothing else works. What worked before doesn't work. And you're right. already barely eating. So you're like, I have to do that.
Right.
Okay. Now, I am not here at all to tell you that I think fasting or time restricted eating is bad. And I am also not here at all to even say the GLP-1s are necessarily bad. I think there's a place for them. Okay.
Better than stapling in your tummy.
100%. Yeah. And we could do right. a whole, you know, the 100%. Yeah. However, the context of your particular situation really matters. Okay. It really matters. So in other words, if I was talking to a woman who, you know, by, you know, and then these women are more and more rare, but who just has just eaten a ton and eaten well her whole life. She's eaten like 3,000 calories a day, not a care in the world. And has decided, my insulin's a little high and I do need to lose some weight. My knees hurt. Yeah. You know, I am overweight at this point. She might be, you know, if she's sleeping well at night, her stress is fairly well managed in her life. She might be a perfect candidate to do some fasting. Uh-huh. Honestly,
yeah.
She's eating too much. Yeah. You know what I mean? Her stress is managed. And she might be a perfect candidate for that. You still need to obviously know what you're doing, apply it well, be wise, not do too much, etc. But there's a time and a place for that. 100%. Mm-hmm. But because I'm not talking to that woman right now, I'm talking to these ladies who are already severely under eating. Yeah. I mean, guys, I have talked to women who I've had them log where some days they're eating like 800 calories. They're not hungry, which is another sign often, of very low metabolic rate. You don't want food. You're not hungry. They're eating 800 calories a day, which is insane. Mm. I mean, that is absolutely insane, especially if they're exercising, which a lot of them are. And ideally you want to be exercising.
Yeah.
The answer for them is not let's take on a protocol where we will eat even less or take a drug where once again, you will eat even less. Okay. Right. Because what will that do? Initially, probably work a little because anytime you eat even less, it usually works at least a little right. bit, right. Not always, but a little bit at the start. But then what will your metabolism do? A little bit after that, it will downgrade again. Stress symptoms will probably come up because you're starving. And then you're even worse off than when you started. You're right. just digging yourself farther down into this metabolic, you right. know, hole. And at some point you can't dig any farther. Mm-hmm. Like what are you going to do eventually? Are you just going to stop eating altogether? Are you just like, I'll only eat once a week? Like you have to stop at a certain point. And the only way out is a reverse diet. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, nuance. Context. I'm not saying that some of these tools or protocols are always bad. They absolutely are not. I'm a huge fan actually of, you know, well executed, wisely done, fasting and time restricted yeah. eating. I'm here to say that I have been shocked how many women are currently grossly already under eating
right.
and where that, adding more, you know, less eating, skipping meals, skipping whole days, 24 hour fast, 36 hour fast, whatever is not the answer for you right now.
Right.
right? And what is, mm-hmm. is how can we rebuild your metabolism? How can we slowly bring your metabolic rate back up? That is the right thing to do. And it's the only way out. Yeah. Okay.
So that means you get to eat more.
It does. Exactly.
Goes back to my title of the show.
You get to eat more.
Yes. Why you get to eat more.
Okay. So let's talk about what a reverse diet is. It's beautiful because it's actually quite simple. But that does not mean it's easy. number one, it is very difficult to psychologically get a woman on board with a reverse diet because what a reverse diet is in a nutshell is simply slowly titrating. Titration is the key. It's okay. very, very small amounts, very slow and gradual. Their calories up over weeks. And how long that takes depends on how fast you decide to go and how far you got to go. If yeah. you are eating 800 calories a day, like if you've been OMADing for, you know, years and only eating one meal a day, it's going to be a very painful, long, slow reverse. Yeah. If you are only, you know, eating around 1500, but you know, you should be eating more, it might not take as long and that's great. So it just right. depends, but it's a slow titration up of your calories, ideally slow enough that you have at least minimal weight gain during this process. A reverse diet is interesting. I have reversed many women. I have seen with my own eyes, met several women as their calories increase, weight comes off.
Right.
Which is insane, right? That's, like that's crazy. Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
Well, it does. If you think of what's happening in terms of what signals you're sending your body and, okay. and the stress piece really, this is where the stress piece really fits in. So if you finally take a body that has been underfed and effectively starving, for years and years and years, and you and stressed out, right? Mm-hmm. From every angle of life, you know, mm-hmm. not sleeping, all the things, the kids, everything. and then you finally give it food, oftentimes metabolism wakes back up pretty quickly, and and all your everything starts to kind of fall into place, and your body's like, all that fat that your body's been stubbornly holding on to because it's trying to save you from dying. I mean, at least that's what it thinks, you know, it starts to let go. And I've seen rapid weight loss actually with women as they've reversed and eaten more and more and more. It's not a promise. That's not always what happens, but I have seen it. Usually I say it's a win if you just maintain. And that's quite common for, and it's a sign that you're doing it correctly and your rate of increase in calories is kind of about right for you, that your weight roughly maintains. Every once in a while, if you're a real train wreck and your metabolism is just like in the crapper, you'll gain a few, and there's no way around it. And sometimes I find a woman, you know, it's not always women who are overweight. Some women are, they've been, I mean, you know, almost disordered, and and they're very, very thin and they need to gain some weight, you know? So sometimes that's exactly what needs to happen. Other times you've been weight loss resistant, you are overweight, you might gain a few through the process, but it is a very small price to pay. To get from where your metabolic rate meets you at 800 or 1,000 calories a day all the way up to 2,000, which is where most of you should be, honestly. Like, that's around where most of you should be. Then you can do something. At that point, you can play around with your macros. You can, if you're in a great place, maybe throw in a little time-restricted eat. Whatever strategy is wise and works for you and is appropriate for you, that's the time to do it. When your metabolic rate is higher and it's healthy and things are running like they should, that's really... that's the whole goal. Okay. So in terms of just process, I like to see women reverse very slowly. It is a longer game, but you're less likely to gain excess pounds, which is always, again, psychologically really hard. And I just think it's the best way to like coax that metabolism up very slowly, very steadily. So I like to see an increase of anywhere from 50 to 100 calories a week.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
so someone who's maybe dieting 1,000 calories a week, the next week, 1,050, the next,
and then 1,100. So it's very slow. And let me tell you, this requires meticulous and exact tracking. And I hate that because I hate tracking. But I got to say, over these last 2 years, with all the realizations that I have been dawning on me that I've been talking to you guys about, I've been leaning harder into the tracking simply because it is dawning on me that so many women are eating about half as many calories a day as their metabolic rate should be good for.
In addition to the tracking thing, you also realize, oh wow, I'm not eating that healthy. I've been eating Twinkies every week, you know, or something like that.
For everybody, just writing down, it's like, oh, I don't eat sugar, and then you look at your week and you're like, yes, I do. So it's eye opening for a lot of reasons. But just historically, I've just been like, oh, it's a terrible way to live. What you eat is more important than how much, blah, 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 blah. And there's a lot of those overarching, you know, principles that still ring true. And by no means do I want anybody to have to track for the rest of their lives, but it is very educational. And I am getting to the point now where I won't work with a woman, nutritionally speaking, unless she tracks for me very accurately for at least 5 days. Because what, you know, bring it back to the example that I gave about context. Like, if I don't know how much you're eating, how am I supposed to know what is a good path forward for you? Right? Because like people all the time, they're like, well, is fasting good? Is keto good? Is carnivore good? Is high carbs good? Is eating less good? None of these things are good or bad. It completely depends on the context, right? If you're eating 800 calories a day, absolutely not. Am I going to tell you to go fast more? My goodness, you're already starving. Like that is a terrible idea. We need to rebuild your metabolism.
What do you mean by starving? What was the typical calorie intake? You know, average, let's say average calorie intake for women.
You know, so that's interesting. So basically, there's a couple of formulas that have been come up with over the years to calculate based
Dr. Pepper plus barbecue equals ice cream.
It's called your basal metabolic rate. Okay. Okay, you start
equation.
You start with basal metabolic rate, and that's basically just the baseline metabolic rate that your body needs to just run. So, I've heard some ex-physiologists say like that's kind of like your metabolic rate if you just laid in bed all day, right? Just if your heart's pumping, you're breathing, but it doesn't account for any like activity at all, right? So, there's calculators. You can just look online, actually. I mean, you can just Google like BMR for women. There's a calculator for women, calculator for men. Obviously, men's BMRs are higher.
Yeah.
And it should take into account your weight, your gender, your height, your age, and roughly your activity level, right? And I actually, it's funny that you asked this because I plugged mine in earlier today just to see. Okay. Yeah. So like I'm, you know, let me see, 5'7" and a half. So 5'7" ish, like 155. I said, moderately active, even though I'm probably more than moderately active. I said moderate. I did all the things. Okay. And with activity, I'm supposed to be eating like 23 to 2500 calories a day. Most women, like, and I'm active. I get that. Maybe more so than some. Although one of my messages is that we all should be more active, not just sitting around and starving ourselves all the time. But like most women are, should have with activity at least be around 2000. And I mean, like that number to some women right now, they're probably like, I could never eat that much. Like I could never, because you have been dieting your entire life. You have been depressing your metabolism your entire life. You have not been building muscle, which increases your basal metabolic rate. We're doing everything wrong, ladies, like everything wrong. So yeah, I, did that answer your question?
Well, basically, you know, so, let's say someone who's not as active, their calories should be, let's say more around like 2000.
Or whatever. I get excited if I get a smaller lady up to 1800. I mean, I think it, in a perfect world should be higher, but you got to meet people where they're at. And of course, those calculators aren't perfect, but the, it just gives you an idea of how far off so many women are. And, and the point is, if you are eating around 1000 calories a day, eating less is not the answer. Okay. It is not the answer. It might be a quick fix to do something extreme like a GLP one. So you never eat or eating only every other, you know, throwing 36 hour fast, for, you know, for whatever, cause you're desperate. But in the long run, that is not the answer. And you got to dig out of there at some point. And you are probably undernourished if you're eating that little, you are almost 100% underproteined. I mean, it's almost impossible to get it in if you're just not eating enough or you're eating only once a day or you're skipping full days and, you know, it's a problem. So, hopefully that answered. That answered your question. So I guess, okay, just to finish what I was saying, I like to see women move up like 50 to 100 calories a week. Men usually can swing anywhere from 100 to 150. Usually all of this is experimental. I mean, you just have to try it and see how you do. If there's a week where you're, when you, you've got to be very exact and you have to monitor your weight, unless you just don't care and you're like, I'm just doing this. I'm all in. I don't care if I gain weight or not. Then you don't. Like, that's fine. But most people are very concerned with like, okay, I don't want to gain too much. I'd rather not gain much at all. If you ever get to a week where the scale bumps up a couple pounds, just stay there. So if you were like, you got to 1250 and then you saw the scale move, just do another week at 1250. Give your body time to kind of catch up. And then once everything stabilizes again, you can bump up again. It's really hard to do on your own. I will say that. I have seen a few people actually reverse themselves. But especially for women, you got to be like solid here. You got to be like in it.
What's the hang up for making, why would it be difficult?
Because it's so counterintuitive. And most of these women have been just completely indoctrinated with diet culture for so long that it's almost like, it's a complete paradigm shift and it feels very, very scary. And if you see that scale tick up even a little bit, you want to just throw the towel in and go back to like, I'm just going to go back to carnivore. Like, I can't do this. Like, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like, you have to talk women off of the ledge, like throughout the whole process. So I do recommend working with someone, just for that, like the accountability and the encouragement, troubleshooting, all those things. But again, it's not because it's complicated. It's honestly not. And the human metabolism is quite predictable in this way if you actually understand it. And it's actually pretty amazing what it can do. And you know, the bodybuilding community has known about this forever. I mean, this is built in. This is, this is, you know, central.
They'll wreck their body for bodybuilding competitions.
This is central to their sport. And they've understood for a long time. Like you bulk, you eat, you build up. So you have this huge reservoir. And then when you start cutting, you cut down, you cut down, you cut down to where you're, you know, like just so lean. And then they know you cannot stay there. You know, you get that selfie, you get on stage, whatever. Anyone who's actually done this knows you cannot stay there. They reverse out fast. And with them, because what they've done, their cut has been so extreme, they'll gain like 30 pounds in like 1 week. Like it's crazy what they'll put back on really, really fast. And that's just your body again being like, no, like we're not, we're not staying here. So a reverse is very real. It's very doable. It's hard to do. It's hard to talk women into, but I, my wager is that the majority of the women listening to this right now who check the boxes, you know, weight loss resistant, been dieting my whole life. It's always been restrict, restrict, restrict. How do I eat less? How do I eat less? This is what you need. You do not need the next fad diet. You do not need more fasting. You do not need a GLP-1. You need to put the time in and reverse diet. And what you need to think of the reverse diet as, and again, it could be anywhere from 8 weeks to 12 weeks, just depending on what pace you go, how many times you have to pause, how deep of a hole you are in. But the thing that a reverse diet is, don't look at it as a weight loss strategy. Okay. It's not necessarily, and you might gain some weight. That's just the way that it goes. Yeah. That is you paying the metabolic piper. The bill coming
for,
due
for the decades years of
and decades
yo-yo dieting and stuff like
and
that.
You got to pay the bill at some point. However, look at it as, a process that if you do it and you trust the process, it will get you to a place where then you might be able to lose weight in a healthy way and eat more. Yeah. I mean, aren't you guys sick of it? Aren't you sick of just being like, I can't eat anything? It is so, it's so exhausting to constantly be thinking about food, constantly feeling guilty, constantly wondering like, why am I, you know, it's just a terrible place to be. And I don't want that for anyone. Yeah. So that's it.
I don't want that for myself.
No, nobody wants that. The ability to eat more and enjoy food, ideally good, whole, nutrient dense food, obviously, because that's what's going to help you to feel the best and perform the best and all those things. You know, we've talked about that ad nauseum, but it's awesome once you get there and totally worth it. Any more questions about the reverse part? Because I wanted to at least at the end here talk about managing stress, because they really are, they come hand in hand.
Yeah,
they really do. It's hard to separate them.
No new questions here either.
Okay, so at the same time, like I said, with this particular subtype of women, we got the weight loss resistance, we got the severe under eating, and then usually there's a huge stress piece. And this is probably a second realization that I've come to, especially over the last couple of years, where I've been really digging more into the like lifestyle of women with health consults. So before it was just gym time, and maybe we would talk about this stuff a little bit, but mostly it was just like, let's squat, you know, like here's your, you know what I mean? You're kind of on your own when you're outside of the gym. But I mean, over the last couple of years, another realization that I have really come to is how unbelievably stressed out moms are. Right. And I know I keep bringing this up and you guys might be sick of hearing it. And stress is a weird word to use because it means different things to different people. And a lot of Christians find it, it's stigmatized. Yeah. Like, well, if you're stressed, you're not trusting God. Or if you're stressed, you're just not, your mental game is, something.
You're just kind of referring to like the load that you have on your life. You know?
That's what I mean. And I don't know what better word to use than stress. But I'm talking about physiological stress, right? I'm not talking about like you aren't saying enough prayers. Yeah. Although maybe some of us aren't, maybe we need to do that. But like, I'm talking about just the physiological stress, the load that moms are carrying. And I think dads too. In a different way. And I think it does show up in you guys as like blood pressure and insulin. Yeah. And we see that in you. We see that in a lot of guys too. So I'm not leaving you guys out. You shoulder a lot too, but just the mom, if you combine the life, you know, childbearing, toddlers, kids, not sleeping well for years, that is an incredible stress on your body. Yeah. All the things that we take on, we tend to just, we're multitaskers anyways, and we just tend to take on so many things. I'll coach that team. I'll volunteer at school. I'll take this job. I'll do this bookkeeping. I can do it. I can do it. And we're bad at saying no. We have mom guilt thrown in there. And then also, ladies, we don't do very well, honestly, with our thought life. Like we really don't. And mental stress, worrying about things, being anxious about things, taking on trouble, the trouble of others, that affects your physiology. It does. And that I think is one of the reasons that God tells us to cast our cares on him. Like he knows that. 100%. He's like, stop doing that. But you know, if you combine all of that and on top of that, years of under eating, you're not in a healthy place.
Right.
You're not in a healthy place. You probably have some amount of adrenal dysfunction, and whether or not you have had that tested or not, and whether or not even your morning cortisol happens to fall in range does not necessarily mean that you are not in some level of adrenal dysfunction. And my, one of my realizations, and it's been a big one over these past couple of years, is that so many of you women are not doing well in the stress department. Yeah. Like you are not doing well. So I think if you fall in this subset, you need to consider a reverse diet, consider, a paradigm shift of like, okay, I actually don't need to eat less. I need to eat more. And there is a process for this. It might be a little painful. It feels counterintuitive, but it's what I need to do. I actually need to eat more.
Right.
In combination with that, you really need to look at how you can de-stress your life, from a physiological standpoint. Okay. And I mean, number one, talk about de-stress is eating more. Your body's really going to like that. You finally start giving it food. And again, real whole nutrient dense food, meat, eggs, veggies, fruits, that kind of thing. Your body will thank you for that. Like you were finally cueing to it that it is not a time of famine. It's been a famine of Weight Watchers and carnivore and what HCG diet. It's been a famine for like 20 years for some of you. And finally, you can give your body a signal like you're okay. There's food here. Okay. Yeah. Another thing, just more practically, if you know you're dealing with a lot of stress, maybe you have some adrenal, you know, dysfunction symptoms. Maybe your blood work is shown, or maybe you're just like, I just know it. I feel bad. I'm irritable. My hair's falling out. I can't sleep at night. You know, I mean, this is so many women again, to the point where this cluster of symptoms has just been like, people just are like, it's just part of getting older. Like, that's just what happens. Right. I don't think so. Right. I actually don't think it needs to happen. I just think it's so common that's what we say now. You know what I mean? So, okay, you can eat your carbohydrates at night. And we've talked about this. I do not mean right before you fall asleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is still good practice. There could be some exceptions to this with someone who has major adrenal problems or major blood sugar problems. But beyond that, it is generally good practice to not eat 2 to 3 hours before you go to bed. You will sleep better. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's giving you a little more natural digestive rest between your last meal of the day and then your first meal the next day. Okay. So that's good. But if you're going to think about where can I strategically place my carbohydrates to help spin down cortisol and help me sleep, carbs at dinner, actually. And it's interesting because we all know that trope of like, well, you're actually more insulin sensitive in the morning. True. But what do you need more? You know, like, does that matter as much as you finally sleeping like for the first time in 10 years? Yeah. I would think not. So again, when I say carbs, I mean good, healthy carbs. Okay. Maybe a good quality white rice, maybe a homemade sourdough, maybe a sweet potato. It doesn't even have to be a lot, especially if you are also juggling things like insulin resistance. Yeah. You got to kind of weigh all those things, but carbs at night, really, really helpful. Another thing that you ladies, if you're super stressed and you're trying to send, basically signals of safety. I hate using the word safety, but you guys know what I mean. To your body, stop skipping breakfast. Okay. I'm not anti that practice in general, although I think it's overrated.
Yeah.
There is nothing that you can do that will send cortisol through the roof more than you skipping breakfast in the morning and drinking coffee. Nothing. Right. Like, so if stress is an issue for you and you need to be working on this, eat breakfast, eat a good one,
eat some eggs.
Yeah. Like stop being afraid of breakfast. That's another big one. Getting sun in the morning.
Yeah.
Really, really helpful for basically every level of health in your body and also helping to reset your circadian rhythms to help with the sleep at night. Just sun in your eyeballs in the morning. That can be really hard because it's a really busy time for moms. Yeah. I've been trying. You're supposed to be out there for a good amount of time. I'm not checking that box. I don't have time for that, but I try when I wake up and I'm having my coffee to just walk outside and just drink it on the patio. Yeah. Like and the kids will come out and talk to me and I'll just be out there. Just getting a little sun.
Morning mom time.
Get sun in the morning. It's really great. Prioritize sleep. And when I say that, I actually mean it. I mean, like, change your life.
Yeah.
So that you are sleeping.
You probably have adjusted a little too much on that.
Yeah, Gabe's like, he's completely against my, when did I start? Was it like 5 years ago that I just like flipped a switch and I was like, I am tired all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to bed early. And I went from staying up till like probably 11 or 12 with you.
You'd hang with me.
Most nights to going to bed at like 8:30 or 9 every single night. And it was like, he was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's happening?
What's wrong with you?
And I was just like,
but you were still getting up at like 5 in the morning. I was getting up for other stuff.
And that's why I needed to make that change. Yeah, I napped during the day with our babies, because I was so tired and, you know, I could sleep when they slept. But then I just got to this point where my kids are older. I don't have time to nap every day. I mean, that would be great, but I don't. Right. And I just was like, I am so tired of being tired. Right. I was so tired and I was sick pretty often.
Yeah.
And I knew.
And you had hair falling out.
I was just a ball of stress. It was just terrible. Yeah. And I just like, well, I got to change something. And such a shift in how I have felt, such a shift in how often I get sick, such a shift in how often I'm injured.
Yeah, you don't get sick like you used to.
I do not.
I was the one who never got sick in our family.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, our kids stay pretty healthy too, but you're the one.
I was the one. Yeah.
More consistently. Like the most compromised. Getting sick and everything.
And I did probably, this is probably why. Yeah. So, but that was a huge shift. Like I had to change everything. Just like I am not staying up and watching a movie. I'm not staying up and staring at blue light. I am going to sleep. And I started taking magnesium at night and glycine at night to kind of prop up my sleep so that I could fall asleep and stay asleep. Yeah. And it is really transformed.
You sleep a lot better at night than you used to.
Yeah. It's really transformed.
We got a question here from Magnus, I think Magnus from Ireland, I believe. I remember him from last week. Cool. He says, do you guys have any opinion on Dr. Paul Saladino?
Oh, Saladino.
Saladino and the stuff he teaches and promotes.
Yeah. He's You don't know who he is.
I know Dr. Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
And okay, so Dr. Paul, Rand Paul. And
he was the, what did he call himself? Like the carnivore MD, or he was big. Okay. All that to say, I do like him. He's, a lot of people either love him or hate him. Yep. He's a very polarizing character. He says kind of extreme things. He does kind of extreme things. His personality kind of like yours. You know what I'm saying? That's just his personality.
I'm not extreme though.
Not at all. I like him. And that's not to say that I agree with every single thing that comes out of his face, but that's not true of almost anyone. And that's not my standard for if I generally like someone or not. So I like him. One of the, I think a lot of what he says is backed in science. He is fairly transparent. He cites his studies, cites his own blood work. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons that I like him the most is because he has openly and honestly changed his mind. Like,
interesting.
Yeah. So like he was hardcore carnivore, probably one of the biggest voices, I think, you know, back when like Jordan Peterson was doing it, his daughter, Michaela, is that her name, was doing it. And they were talking about it and got really big. And there was a couple guys that were just like, Sean Baker was talking about it. And then Paul Saladino. And he at that point was hardcore, like meat, maybe animal products, but just not, he was a hardcore carnivore. He did it for years. And then openly talked about some of the health problems he had.
Yeah. Gut related.
I can't remember specifically what they were for him. Okay. Maybe some low testosterone, you know, cause he was measuring all these things.
Yeah,
and again, like our back to our show that we did on fad diets, how you have to watch out for long-term ramifications, because you can be on carnivore for a while and feel so good, especially if you're coming from a crappy diet, because it removes a lot of really bad food. You know, that's one of the pros to it, but he was really honest about it. He was just like, yeah, no. And so now, he still eats incredibly clean. He's very extreme. He lives in like Costa Rica or something. And he like, I mean, he
eats a fresh banana every
day. He lives a life that most people cannot relate to, you know, but now he's added in like honey. He's added in fruit. He's added because he's realized the body, at least in the long term, needs this stuff. So I don't mind him. I think he's a little extreme and maybe he does that on purpose, but I appreciate his humility and his willingness to change his mind. So that's actually, that to me is a really big deal.
And that would make me want to listen to him a little more if I knew he's willing to consider information and change.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so little of that. Yeah. So
I remember, we had, we started a diet with me since November.
Is that how long it's been?
And yeah.
Yeah. We've made changes for you since then. Yeah.
And the way I diet, I'm not going to follow it all to a T. I'm just telling you straight
up. He's terrible. Honestly. Yeah.
No, I'm actually pretty good.
It's not good. Adherence,
It's like, rotten. It's like, I like high 80s.
Like
high
you're
80s,
fired. High 80s. You know, like you're fired. You're a terrible client.
The first, since we just started me on a diet, we did my blood test, kind of seeing where, you know, where's my vitamin D at? Where was this at? Where's my cholesterol? Where's my blood sugar at and all that stuff? And so the first 3 months of the diet, we made some, I mean, they weren't minor adjustments, but one of the, we made a lot of adjustments, but one of the things we did was we kind of kept carbs in at night for me.
We kept the carb dinner,
you know.
We wanted to see if you could get away with keeping carbs
just one carb
in
a day and just at night. And I mean, I liked that. I don't feel like I really need carbs in the morning for breakfast. You know, lunch, I can kind of get away with it because I'm just busy and I just need something to eat on the fly.
Yeah. It's a strategic type.
But I like dinner because I like having a glass of wine. I like having a, you know, a steak and I like having a piece of garlic toast.
Yes.
And so I liked that aspect. Now we took that away for the next 3 months. So we made adjustments. We took that away for the next 3 months.
We need to bring your insulin down.
Right. We got insulin.
Yeah.
So I hope to be able to get back to that through kind of playing with my diet and that, but I, you know, like this diet, like what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out, how my body, cause we got diabetes that runs in my family.
It's strong.
Some things to watch out for. So we're just kind of really trying to figure out like, cause I don't want to be on like a diet as, you know, I want to be in a good place. I want to be where I can eat well and enjoy what I'm eating.
Yeah.
While being able to maybe take care of some of my pre-diabetes, whatever you want to call it.
Trying to figure out what your particular carb tolerance is.
There you go.
And it is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that if we can get your, cells a little more sensitized to insulin, maybe we can introduce some carbohydrates. We might have to play around with which one, because different people's bodies respond differently to
potatoes versus bread or whatever.
And it's very bio individual. And then we're just going to try to figure out how much because it does matter, you know, for your health, and it's different for every person, but that's why you test.
Yeah.
And that's why you test and then you make adjustments.
And so my point is, like, by bringing this up is, like, that's the thing I like about the reverse dieting is, like, we're trying to get you into a healthy spot.
Yeah.
With actually being able to eat more. Cause
exactly.
I mean, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. We brought this up on the first show where it's like God made food for man. And he made, you know, fruit and steak and, you know, one thing, if you guys read Francis Fukushan's book, Food for Thought. Is that what it is, Neil? Food for Thought?
I don't know the name of his
book. I think what it is. One of the things that Francis points out in his book and I find really helpful is, like, we are not animals. God actually gave us flavors. I mean, poor animals, they eat grass
every day.
You know, we get to eat salt and pepper and cheese and, steak and fruit and all that stuff. And so, I mean, I would not like to live the rest of my life just on constant dieting. So it's like actually try to get your body into a situation where you're actually able to enjoy food more and not have to sit there and starve yourself 800 calories a day and everything. So that should be actually one of your goals through all this. You know, this should be your paradigm. It should be one of your goals through all this is actually get yourself back into a place where you can eat well. Yes. Have fun with food and not constantly be counting calories.
Yeah. And just full of fear.
And
restricted.
And you have this love hate relationship with food. Yeah. It's like, get yourself back into place. There's actually adjustments you can make that will help you in the long run. Now you might have, you know, some short term frustration in dealing with maybe some diets or reverse dieting for our conversation today. But like the goal is to get yourself back in a place where it's like, I can eat in this fallen world in a way that I can be healthy and actually enjoy it.
Yeah. And again, if you lay down on top, you're so right. And if you lay down on top of that, eating mostly real whole food, it is such a great place to be. Yeah. I mean, like, it is such a great place to be. So I would just say, I know we probably need to be done here. Oh, yeah.
We got like 2 minutes.
I would just say, ladies, if you're like, this could be me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Grab an app, any app, MyFitnessPal, there's a billion of them. And just
what app do you use?
Well, I use Trainerize, but that's one that I only, you know,
you have clients on Trainerize that you work with.
Yeah. But MyFitnessPal is fine. And seriously, there's so many, just like nutrition tracking. There's Chronometer. There's a bunch, but, just track for a week because you might be surprised at how much you're eating.
Or how bad you're eating.
as much, you might be surprised how little you're eating, how little in, you know, calories total, and also how little protein. And and those really matter.
Yeah.
Especially, again, because you're supposed to be strength training, right? That's the goal is to get all of us ladies moving our bodies in some capacity, strength training, at least whole body a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Message me if you want to know where to get started on that. It is so important in order to build any amount of muscle in your body, which is the organ of longevity, you have to eat.
Yeah.
All right. So this all fits together, and a little tracking at the start just to see where your baseline is might be really helpful for you.
Last question. And I think this can be maybe answered a little more broadly here, but, JC says, I'm late to the show. Forgive me. You are forgiven, JC. Oh my goodness.
I forgive you.
Does your gym offer an eating program and a weight training program? Maybe address that a little broadly. You know,
is he local?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, interesting. Well, my local gym does not offer an eating program.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, answer broadly. Should they?
You know. And then what was the other one? A weight
training program? And a weight training program.
Okay. Yeah. So normally most gym, I don't know. It depends on the gym. Some gyms have nutritionists or whatever kind of working for and with them, and they'll offer that. I wouldn't say that's standard, but some gyms do. If you hire a trainer, they normally are not going to delve really deep into nutrition with you. They're really more trained on the exercise side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And on the exercise side, every gym is different also. But if you can find a gym with a decent training program, one of the best ways to learn, you know, how to lift and how to structure workouts and what's a good program is to work with a trainer one-on-one.
Yeah.
There's more and more people doing it online. I'm even finally doing it. I resisted it forever, but
I told my wife for 10 years or something like that. You got to do it online. Well, but part of it is, I think, is like really just find someone you trust.
Yeah, find someone you trust. Exactly, like, right. And the reason I've resisted it is because there's so much information out there, and there's so I'm a personal trainer at heart, and I want people to learn to do things right. And there's so much going on in a squat. There's so much going on in a deadlift. And I'm like, it's just really hard for me to let go of not being there face to face.
Yeah.
But now that you can do videos and you can do instructional stuff,
you kind of got more that way.
I finally felt like it was okay to do that. So I would work with a trainer, either online or at a gym, and learn how to do it. That's really important.
This new cancel culture and 2020 COVID and not being able to trust hardly any doctors these days.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm constantly trying to find someone I trust. So whether it's in a local gym or someone online that you trust, it's like, work with them. So anything else to say before we close out, baby?
I think we're good. Yeah. I think that was, I'm glad we talked about that. We'll come for you people who are actually overeating at some point here. But you guys are easy.
You're the easy ones. You're if you guys want to be in a conversation with us, you can email us at wrenchmedia@gmail.com. And I know I've said this for about a month now, but my wife's got her website coming out where some of you guys can be working with her. And she already works with clients, a number of clients on reverse dieting and all that stuff. So wrenchmedia@gmail.com is an easy place to ask us questions and be in a conversation with us. So you can also follow Annie on Instagram. Just find Annie Wrench over on Instagram.
Annie M. Wrench.
Yep. Annie M. Wrench over Instagram. And you can follow me on Twitter. Is my favorite place to be. GM Wrench. Gabriel Michael Wrench. GM Wrench. And that's always with me and Annie. It's Wrench without a W. Just R-E-N-C-H. Okay?
O-W.
Yeah. Keep it easy on yourself. Thank you for tuning in. We will be here next week. So about every Thursday, about 2 p.m., 2:15 Pacific time, we're streaming live. And enjoy, for those who are tuning in on the podcast side of things, thank you for tuning in. Share the show. Share it to your parents, mom, dad, grandmas, your friends who need reverse dieting and all that stuff. So thank you for tuning in.
Thanks, guys.